heard the call to build your small business? Make it happen with a .net domain name, the place for dreamers for 30 years and counting. Visit keepdreamingup.net for tips and advice, whether you're just getting started or looking to grow. That's keepdreamingup.net.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, CJ Foster. That was one of the most entertaining preseason games you will ever see. Normally, entertaining and preseason don't go together. That wasn't the case tonight, man. This game was fun and wacky and had some hilarious, very preseason-y type moments and some great highlights from the game as well. So if you missed this one, you're going to want to go back, watch the highlights on SportsCenter or whatever you got to do. Find the highlights because it was crazy entertaining. The final score in this one, Clippers 109, Portland 108. The Clippers won on a last-second shot from Jamal Crawford, and DeAndre Jordan stormed the court to celebrate, but the Blazers didn't call a timeout. 0.2 seconds left on the clock. Blazers did not call a timeout. So the Clippers got a technical. DeAndre got teed up for running onto the court. No one else ran onto the court because play didn't stop. But DeAndre was just so excited that you're in a late game technical. So Blazers make a free throw. It ends up being 109-108. They had a chance to win it at the end with a tip in, but it didn't go through. That was just one of the very preseason-y things we saw tonight. Another one, the Clippers, it's almost fitting that they ended the game with six guys on the court with DeAndre storming off the bench, because at one point during the game, they played with four guys. Now, it was only a single possession. J.J. Redick subbed out, but the refs didn't give enough time to bring the sub in. So Redick had to go turn back from the bench, come back onto the court. The Clippers were playing with four people for a possession. So a few kinks to be worked out with the subs and whatnot. I can totally relate. I'm a high school basketball coach, and we're in fall league right now, which is basically a glorified summer league. And there's just a lot of organizational stuff that hasn't really been established yet. And it's not like the Clippers are new to this. But it's just, it has this weird vibe that it's not quite a real game yet. So some weird stuff happens. And that's what happened in this one tonight. Some kooky stuff. What we're going to do for the show tonight, we're going to go through the roster and just talk about every player, because I had notes kind of for everyone in this game. The Clippers, man, they really came out to play in this one. I don't know if it was because they felt a little need for revenge, as much as you can get preseason revenge, I guess, over Portland for last year's playoff series, whether it was because it was on national TV on TNT, or if it was just because we're running out of preseason games and it's time for these sort of final tune-ups. But the Clippers came out sharp and aggressive and were playing hard, and they built a pretty sizable lead. And it was the bench, really, that did it. The Clippers went on an 18-0 run in the second quarter with an all-bench lineup. No Chris Paul, no Blake Griffin. And these guys really extended the lead and pushed it out. And man, the Clippers looked really good tonight. So let's start with the roster. Let's start with DeAndre. I forgot to mention this about the DeAndre technical foul. He actually got ejected from the game because he had a technical foul earlier battling with Mason Plumlee. Mason? Yeah, Mason. You know, if you have twins, can you just name them different names? it really bugs me. Like, you don't need to name them so close to, like, Mason and Miles. You don't have to do that. Like, I get that it's cute because they're twins or whatever. Just do, like, Brooke and Robin. Nobody gets Brooke and Robin confused. It's super, but Mason, Miles, it's, ugh. Anyway, DeAndre got tied up with Plumlee. And they were battling all game. They kept getting tangled up. And DeAndre was taken to exception to, I think, what he thought were some cheap box outs with him grabbing his arm and kind of holding it and tweaking his shoulder. And this was as mad as you'll see DeAndre get. DeAndre is usually a really friendly guy, you know, kind of buds with everyone in the league, likes to smile and laugh a lot, doesn't really get too heated very often. He was hot tonight, though, man. He was really upset. A lot of times the players on the floor, the coaching staff kind of had to tell him to settle down a little bit. Plumlee was really bugging him. But the beautiful thing about this game, and it's probably my biggest takeaway from this win, even though a lot happened, there's a lot of storylines, there was a little segment, a little, like, two series of two plays in a row where DeAndre was getting tangled with Plumlee and they were arguing and he was barking at the refs, and Blake Griffin did this absolutely wonderful thing that I've been talking about all summer that I want to see more. DeAndre tipped an offensive rebound out. Blake Griffin recovered it at around the free throw line in the high post area. DeAndre immediately sealed Plumlee, and Blake looked to give it to him. He didn't reset the offense. He didn't pull it out, give it to Chris Paul. He went right back to DeAndre on a nice little post up, and DeAndre got fouled. He made one of two free throws. It's not so much the result of the play or the actual play itself that I love. I just love that Blake saw DeAndre battling and rewarded his big man. And for a big man to reward another big man like that, I think it's really cool. Because one thing we probably don't give Blake Griffin enough credit for is his basketball IQ. He really kind of just gets it. And to feed DeAndre in that situation, when emotions are running high and you know he's battling and fighting and wants the ball and just secured an offensive rebound, reward him. Chris Paul doesn't do that enough. And I don't complain about Chris Paul very much because he's the ultimate general. He takes care of the team. He does what is right. And yeah, he probably gets the smarter shot in that situation. But every once in a while, man, you just have to reward your big guy. You just have to see him battling and give it to him. And I love that Blake Griffin did that on that possession. About two plays later, DeAndre literally sealed Plumlee under the rim. Sat in the key, 1 second, 2 second. J.J. Redick could have made a very easy entry pass. Didn't do it. DeAndre gets to 3 seconds in the key. So it's a learning process, and I think maybe part of the reason why the Clippers don't feed DeAndre so much is because they don't want him to be that hungry offensively. You know, it's almost like a roll check sort of thing. But when you see him working like that and he's working defensively and he's getting into it with guys, reward him, man. Get that guy the ball. I love that Blake did that. And look, they fed DeAndre more than they have in any preseason game, more than just about every regular season game last year. And he fouled out Plumlee in 11 minutes. Plumlee picked up 6 fouls in the first half. Now, yeah, it's preseason. They would pull Plumlee and save him in a real game. But that's not the point. The point is, you got the other team's starting center in big-time foul trouble because you gave DeAndre a couple chances to make things happen. I love it. I hope we see more of it. A very, very emotionally charged game from DeAndre. Probably the best part about his ejection was Blake Griffin trying to hold his laughter in when the refs were figuring out what was going on and they were reviewing it. Blake was cracking up at DeAndre because it's hilarious. Who does that? Who runs out onto the court before a timeout's been called and gets a technical in that situation? Very rarely happens. So Blake was cracking up. I loved that. Best buds forever. Okay. That's DeAndre. DeAndre had a good game. Chris Paul. Only one real moment I remember from Chris Paul, and I think everyone else is going to kind of black out everything with all the other stuff that happened in this game. CP3 sat Lillard down with a crossover. Faked left, came back right. Lillard was leaning. He did step on Blake Griffin's feet, which kind of made him fall, which ruins the crossover a little bit, but he was leaning the wrong way. I mean, he might have gone down whether there was no feet there to trip up on. He got crossed. So you're going to see that one all over the internet tomorrow, I'm sure. J.J. Redick had a pretty good battle with C.J. McCollum. Both those guys like to run around the court a lot, move. J.J. had a little trouble keeping up with McCollum when he put it on the deck a few times. But J.J. got his, as he tends to do. In this matchup, if JJ can play McCollum to a wash, it's a major win for the Clippers. And I think on a lot of nights, JJ can play McCollum to a wash. He didn't tonight. CJ got the better of him, but it was close enough to where it gives you hope if these two teams match up that JJ will do a nice job on McCollum. And interestingly enough, it was Luke Richard and Bamute covering Damian Lillard. I mean, Doc's going with the preseason. He's pulling out all the stops. He's saying, Mo Harkless, if you want to post up Chris Paul, you go ahead. Because we're going to put our biggest, our longest, and Chris Paul is the best defender on the team. But we're going to put this guy, this specialist, on Damian Lillard. And Luke did a fantastic job, I thought, sticking with Lillard and just making shots difficult. There were so many times in the first half where Lillard wanted to get his shot off, left his feet, but the length of Mbamute made him change his mind at the last second and throw a crazy kickout pass. So that's something to keep an eye on when the Clippers and Blazers play, that Luke has a role, especially against Portland. Maybe he doesn't make sense against these teams where you need to spread the court and there's no one for him to really guard. But he's a guy that it looks like Doc will throw on another team's best player, best guard, at least for the minutes that he's out there, and see what happens. Luke also had a great spinning drive. Other than the Chris Paul crossover, is probably the play of the game. Took two guys, spin, reverse layup, baseline. It's beautiful. An interesting thing from Reggie Miller here as well. Now, how can I be careful and political about this? I don't fully trust that these are Doc's words verbatim. Reggie Miller relayed this story, and it doesn't quite seem right to me, but I'm going to read it to you anyways. This is what Reggie Miller said. He said, Doc told us, if you talk to the other four starters, they're much more comfortable having Luke out there as the starter. Huh. So what Reggie's saying is that Doc told them that the other four starters want Luke Richard and Bamute to start because they're more comfortable with him. It's something to file away. If you take it at face value, you're thinking, okay, well then the starting job is probably Luke's. But we've seen that it's an open competition. Doc said earlier in training camp that the small forward spot's an open competition. Zach Lowe wrote an article a couple days ago that he thinks Alan Anderson is going to be the starting small forward for the Clippers. I just did a podcast that you'll be hearing an excerpt of tomorrow with Nate Duncan on the Dunked On podcast, and he thinks Alan Anderson is also going to be the starter. So there's a lot of different, people are betting on different horses, and it's really tough to tell. I think Luke is going to remain the starter. Wesley Johnson, interestingly enough, kind of had an off night. He didn't check in until the fourth quarter, just played some garbage time. Not sure what's up with that. It was probably just a rest day. But yeah, Luke got the start in this matchup. I think Luke very well could be the starter opening the season, in part because Alan Anderson did not look great while he was out there. He drew some fouls, but there was no real lift. There was no real explosiveness offensively. He did hit a corner three, but he made some defensive mistakes. He made something called Jake Lehman. Jake Lehman lit him up for about 8 straight points, I think it was. Really kind of made him look slow and showed some of his deficiencies. He was hobbling around a little bit late in the game as well. I don't know if that ankle is at 100%. Just doesn't look like the athletic small forward you would prefer in that starting lineup. Now, I know that he's the best shooter of the group and probably the best offensive player overall. But I've gone back and forth on this a lot. I think Wesley is probably the best balance of the three. But Luke, I think they're going to stick with Luke. If I had to bet today, if you're making me bet on the starting small forward for the Clippers to start the season when they play against Portland, I think there's a reason why Luke started this game. And with the way he defended Lillard, I would not be surprised to see him be the starter on opening day. Okay, let's move on to the other Clippers. Raymond Felton had probably the most deceiving 2-for-8 performance, like, ever. I wrote down at one point in my notes, I like doing this sometimes, I pose little questions to myself, and it said, Ray Felton, the most impressive Clipper this whole preseason other than Blake. And I think you can almost make the argument for that. He was 2-for-8. He wasn't scoring all that well. He had a couple shots rim out. But the way that he's using pick and rolls right now looks like Chris Paul. And I was watching with my brother-in-law, and he kind of remarked about how similar they look out on the court. And yeah, maybe, you know, it's the size thing, and they're both 6'1", and, you know, a little stockier, and you can kind of see that. But the way that he was manipulating screens and getting Mo Spates some open looks and just kind of playing with the defense and not being afraid to, okay, let's run that pick and roll back. Let's reset. Let's keep running it. Let's go until we get something good. Reminded me of Chris Paul a little bit. He was the first guy off the bench for the Clippers. He replaced Chris Paul pretty early in the first quarter. I thought he played really well. And defensively, he's been putting in a lot of effort. I think he's playing for minutes right now. Look, the Clippers are going to play Austin Rivers. They didn't pay him all that money to sit behind a veteran minimum Ray Felton and barely get in at all. It's just not a thing that's going to happen. And it's not a thing that should happen. The Clippers need to develop Austin Rivers. He's one of the few guys on the team left with upward potential to be something greater than he already is at this moment. So it's not like Felton is going to steal all these minutes from Rivers. But in my mind, if you ask me who I'd rather have running the offense in the second unit or stepping in with the starters, I'd rather have Raymond Felton right now. Maybe that's an overreaction to what I've been watching in preseason, and maybe I'll regret that horribly at some point later in the year when Raymond Felton disappoints, because everyone's kind of warning me about as soon as you start expecting good things from Raymond Felton, all the bad things start happening. But he's been playing really well so far this preseason. We saw last year in Dallas the kind of impact he can have. So I'm in on Raymond Felton, man. I think he looks really good. I think he's playing harder than everyone else right now, with the exception of Blake Griffin, which certainly helps his case. But this is something to monitor. If something happens with Chris Paul, I think the Clippers are in capable hands with Raymond Felton. If only he could shoot, and that's kind of always been the thing. If only he was a reliable three-point shooter, I don't think he would be on a veterans minimum contract scrapping for, you know, backup point guard minutes. Let's just put it that way. Brandon Bass tonight was really aggressive offensively. He had some little herky-jerky pump fakes, kind of tricky. He lives in that mid-range game offensively. He's really smart about when to slip into the little passing window. Him and Jamal connected for a few really nice plays out of the pick and roll. And what I really like about Bass is that you kind of know what he's going to do when he gets it. He can post a little bit, but he's a mid-range shooter. That's his game. That's what he does. On his few drives that he had kind of a hard time finishing. But if you play way off of him, he's not someone that mucks up your spacing because he will hit a 17-footer. Those guys still have value. I know the league has gone fully into stretch. Everybody needs to shoot threes at all times. But there is a value to a guy who's just a very competent 17, 18-foot mid-range shooter, and that's Bass. I'm excited for this pickup, especially for what he can bring defensively. Mole Spates was the star off the bench yet again. 16 points, 8 rebounds in 21 minutes. Almost a double-double in 21 minutes. The ball just finds Mo, and he knows what to do with it when he gets it. Mo gets buckets, man. He gets shots up. And if he's not in a position to get a shot up, he's carving out space underneath the glass and trying to get an offensive rebound, which he will promptly turn into a shot attempt. Mo is not a big-time passer. But while it's almost hypocritical because usually I hate those kind of guys, but as a big man and a stretch big man, it's nice to know that this is a guy who has obviously all the confidence in the world to get his shot up, and he's not someone who's going to go 0 for 3 and stop shooting. That's been the problem with a lot of these stretch bigs that the Clippers have brought in the past. I think like Brian Cook. If they went 0 for 3, they were completely useless. Mole Spates just keeps playing, keeps fighting, keeps trying to get offensive rebounds. He's relentless. He's relentlessly hungry to score buckets. And I love it. And if you're playing with Mole Spates, you know what he's going to do when you give him the ball. And there's a value in that. There's no... the reason why I think he'll fit in so quickly and for there not to be much of an adjustment period offensively is because his guards know if you give Mo the ball anywhere inside of like 25 feet, that thing's going up. There's no guessing. There's no, oh man, I wish he would have pulled on my kick out. It's if you give it to Mo, expect a shot to go up. And as crazy as it sounds, there's a lot of value in that. And Brandon Bass isn't afraid to pull the trigger as a mid-range shooter either. So offensively, I'm really excited about what the second unit can bring. Again, they went on an 18-0 run at one point all by themselves with no Blake, no CP3. I'm really excited for the potential of this team offensively. They're going to have some nights where they go on these crazy hot runs because you have so many guys who can just light it up and get hot quick. So love the offense from the second unit. The defense is still a work in progress, but hey, if you're on an 18-0 run, you're doing something right. Lastly, Jamal talked earlier. I wrote down here some great pocket passes in the pick and roll. He's only 3 for 11, but he's kind of the hero of the night because he saved us all from preseason overtime basketball. Oh, thank you, Jamal. Overtime and preseason, that's the worst thing. Whew! I think I just talked for like 22 straight minutes? 23 straight minutes? I didn't even breathe. Are you guys still listening? Am I still alive? Are we here? We're going to wrap up tonight's show, I guess, since I just talked the entire time. We're going to be back tomorrow, Friday. We have a lot of cool stuff for tomorrow's show. We got a lot of things to talk about. Paul Pierce's comments on Kevin Durant. I have lots of takes on that, some that Clippers fans might not quite like. I also did as I mentioned earlier, a podcast with Nate Duncan of the Dunked On podcast. So we are going to excerpt that. We'll play a clip from that tomorrow. We had some good Clippers talk, me and Nate. We went for about an hour of just talking Clippers and talking a little bit about the Western Conference, and it was great. So we'll include that tomorrow, and we'll catch you up on anything big that happened with the Clippers. We've got some things to talk about, so tune in tomorrow. Remember, if you're still one of the people that are hunting around for the podcast, you're Googling it, you're finding it on my Twitter, whatever it is, feel free to subscribe to us. there's a bunch of different sites you can do it. If you subscribe on iTunes, it just pops up right for you every day when it comes up, so you can listen. If you are one of those iTunes people, we would love it if you could leave us a review. It helps the whole podcast network, but it helps me too. It makes me look good. It gets us more listeners. The more listeners we get, the better guests we get. So it's a team effort. So please drop me a review, a 5-star review. Leave a comment. Some of you have already done that. Thank you guys so much for that. It's fun going through and reading those and hearing that the little bass line in my intro makes somebody day. I love that. By the way, Wolfpack is the band that does the intro and the outro. And if you're not up on them, they are an LA-based band now that is super good. Have one of the best bass players like in the world. So Wolfpack, that's who that is. If you have questions for the show, I want to do a little Q&A at some point, so please email them to me at fosterdj3@gmail.com or just send me questions on Twitter at FoxSportsFoster. Thank you guys for listening. Whew, deep breaths. All right, we did this. Crazy preseason game. Once again, to wrap up, Clippers win their 4th preseason game of the year, 109-108 over Portland. They are back in action on Monday at Utah. That will be a 6 p.m. start time. We'll have a podcast for you tomorrow, Friday, and then we'll cover the game late night Monday. All right, thanks for listening, everyone. Enjoy your day.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.